I put the word out just very casually on my Facebook page. And in the first day or two, I got about 100 people. And wow, I mean, what I got back was just shocking.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Today we're going to discuss an issue that I expect almost all of our listeners have been affected by at some point in their lives, and that's the issue of divorce. It's not difficult to understand the difficulties and impacts divorce has on those who are going through it, but what about the long-term implications of divorce, especially on the children of divorce once they become adults? Our guest today is Layla Miller, a wife of 27 years, a mother to 8 children, and a grandmother who has recently used her writing skills to give a voice to 70 adults, most of whom had parents who divorced when they were young. Not surprisingly, these individuals and others like them often feel as though their stories and perspectives are lost in the conversation about marriage and divorce in America. Layla is here today to discuss what we can learn from the stories that she tells in her new book, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. Layla Miller, I want to welcome you to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, John. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your time. Now, Layla, you readily admit that you do not have firsthand experience with divorce. So that does beg the question, why did you decide to write a book about divorce, and particularly one that shares a perspective on divorce from the viewpoint of adults who live through divorce?
You know, it's a great question. And I have to tell you, I've been writing about, talking about marriage and family for probably close to, you know, a quarter century now. And while I kind of would maybe brush over the issue of divorce and, you know, it's bad or, you know, we don't like it, it never really was on my radar. So it's kind of shocking to me that it even became a topic. Mm. And the reason it did was because I have a close personal friend who over the years, and she's in her 40s and she's married and has 6 kids, but she would start, you know, just in the course of regular family, you know, friendly conversations, she'd start to say certain things that I was intrigued about, things, complications in her life, such as things with her stepmother or things that, you know, were happening with her dad and her mom who's on her third marriage or something like that, and how it kind of was still affecting her, still, you know, even affecting the grandkids. And then after a while, I started to tell her, you know, her name's Alicia. I said, Alicia, you may need to write this down. This is stuff I don't even understand. I don't even know about. So that's kind of the catalyst that got me into this.
And so you compiled stories from quite a few adults who had gone through divorce experiences, either during their youth or maybe a little bit later in life?
Yes. So I kind of put the word out just very casually on my Facebook page, and I have a blog, and I got a lot of response from people. I wanted their feelings and experiences for what they'd gone through. And in the first day or two, I got about 100 people, and they wanted to talk. And so I quickly just whipped up this off the top of my head, like 8 questions that I thought it would be interesting to know about. And wow, I mean, what I got back was just shocking to me, and I knew I had to compile it and put it out there somehow.
Well, you talk about long-term experiences, and that's really, I'm sure, what was captured a lot in this book that's not spoken about. Talk a little bit more about that. Help us understand some of what you learned and discovered about the long-term effects that divorce has on these children who grew up in households that, where their parents divorced, and then they carry that divorce and the effects of that divorce into adulthood.
It's on a number of fronts. Number one, a lot of them carry these insecurities and this feeling that there's really nothing stable or that could stay stable. They carry that into their relationships throughout their young adulthood and then even into their marriages, those of whom, you know, went ahead and were brave enough to get married. And even like some of the people who are married to really wonderful spouses, they don't even necessarily tell their spouses this, but they have this almost like a guillotine hanging over their head, wondering in fear when this will all end. And so, like one lady said, she, for years, she would squirrel away money in her sock drawer, even though her husband's amazing and would never leave. But she kept thinking, okay, what will it be like when we have to do the custody issues? I've got to make sure I have enough money.
Wow.
You know, so that kind of really hung with her. Several people discuss things like that. People discuss that even into their 40s and 50s, and one lady's in her 60s, you know, there's no real home. It's all these complications that they're managing even now between different layers of family. They're still navigating that even into their 50s and 60s. And it kind of boggled my mind. I realized how I walk around unencumbered, and I don't have a complicated life in the sense that they do. And I never realized that. So it's amazing, shocking.
Well, you touched on something that I want to explore a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue of the impact of divorce and the destruction of a family on matters related to faith, and how individuals who go through a divorce when they're young really relate to God. And did you see that this was a common thread through many of the individuals that you talked with for this book? Did divorce have an impact on their faith?
Yes. And there was varying degrees of religiosity or of faith in their childhood. Some had no, weren't raised with any faith, and some were raised very, very faithfully, very Christian households. I will say that a lot of them really got hit with their relationship with God the Father, specifically if a father was the one who broke the family. Now, we have obviously some stories in the book where it's the mother who abandoned the family or divorced, but the image, especially, you know, for the boys too, you know, the image of God the Father, you tend to look at your father as a child, and that's kind of how you get your first understanding of who God is. And so when that takes a hit, you know, it's huge. So lots of depression, you know, lots of falling away from the faith. We have some stories of the families where the siblings, to this day, a lot of their siblings have not come back to God at all. They're still wandering. They have drug addictions, and there's quite a few suicides of the siblings. So a lot of the people in the book still have rediscovered their faith, but there's just the collateral damage as far as their faith goes, and their siblings, and even the parents who divorce, it's really devastating. That's a real healing. You know, that needs its own healing once a marriage falls apart.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Sure. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know that those are issues that are fundamental to who we are, and that image of the human father kind of bearing an impression on what someone perceives their godly father to be, it's profound. And mm-hmm. I think that as a father myself, I know I speak for many out there who are challenged by that and want to present as good an image as we can in order to exemplify God the Father to the degree that we're humanly possible or able to do that. Now, Layla, did you experience any situations when divorce was actually a positive thing? I suspect that in circumstances where there may have been physical abuse or infidelity or constant fighting in the home, things like that, that, you know, certainly there are circumstances where divorce is necessary. What did you see with respect to the folks that you spoke with about that?
Yeah, I saw, and again, I never cherry-picked any of the answers, so we do have quite a few who came from abusive situations, and the sentiment there is there are a few of the participants said that it was, they were very grateful, first of all, to get out of the abuse. You know, for example, you know, thank you, I want to thank my mom for getting me safe and getting me out of the abuse. In one case, it was the mother who was the abusive one, and the father was the one who needed to get the kids out. But I wouldn't characterize, and I don't think any of them would characterize it as that the divorce was positive. What they would say is that it was a relief, and I think someone used the term, and I use the term, it's a release valve.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can get out of that type of abuse and suffering, there is a feeling of obviously a release valve. I need to, you know, and you they need to get out. You know, they need to get away from that. What's interesting is that a lot of them describe this, and also privately to me too, because I've been in contact with them since the book's publication. But it's still like an amputation, you know, in the sense that yes, you may have had to sever a limb, but you're still walking around with a damage. You know, there's still it's never what it should have been, what God intended it to be, right? So there's always a wound of some sort. Now, sometimes amputation is necessary. What I've discovered, because again, like, this wasn't my issue before, but what I've discovered is even those issues, we have to acknowledge for those kids that there's still a loss, that there's still pain. And that's why the book is called Primal Loss, because truly, I mean, how God created it is every child is born to the union of his mother and his father. And when that is broken apart for whatever reason, and it's either death or sin, that's a tragedy for the child, no matter what, even if it's necessary to get that child out. So that's really important, just to that acknowledgement that, yes, it's, you know, that's why I just have kind of an issue with the celebration of, hey, divorce parties and
sure,
fun. Isn't this great? No, it's never great. Yeah. You know, it's always a tragedy of some sort.
Now, Layla, one of the final chapters in the book contains stories of success, of hope,
yes,
and redemption of marriages that really went to the brink of divorce and somehow survived. Give us an example of one of these stories that really gives you hope and that may give hope to some of our listeners who may themselves be facing a divorce situation or are trying to counsel and reach out and love a family member or a loved one who is going through divorce themselves.
Yeah, that's many people actually have said that's their favorite chapter of the book, the stories of hope. And they're really dire situations where either the parents persevered or the people who wrote to me. Again, these are not the 70. This is a whole different bunch of people that had success stories or hope about on-the-edge marriages. And the one that always sticks out to me, and I don't know why, is a woman who is an adult who talks about how for the majority of her parents' marriage, it was rough. It was very rough. He was an alcoholic. He had left the practice of his faith for 35 years. He was not a good role model. He was not a great father. She even thought growing up, gosh, they should be divorced. This is ridiculous. Towards the end of his life, and her mother just was very faithful. She's like, no, you know, this is my husband. This is my family. I made a vow. The children watch this. And at the very end of his life, he got sick. He came back to God at the end, and at the end of literally his last hours, they spent, just the immediate family, they spent those hours together. And she said it was the most sacred, holy kind of time. And she remembers just being overwhelmed with this feeling that she'll never forget of gratitude, of having her family together at her father's last breath, where they got to tell each other they loved each other. And she just was so grateful that it was a quiet, she envisioned what it could have been with stepmothers and
half-brothers
and half-sisters and all the different people fighting over, you know, who is supposed to be there and who's not. And what she was just so grateful. I don't know, she paints the most beautiful scene that, you know what, it was all worth it because our family in that little holy space when he went back to God, you know, it was a beautiful moment. And she just had tears, you know, she was crying. And so there are a few of those types of stories, but that one just really stuck out to me, the kind of the preciousness of those last years and then those last hours, that, you know, the long view of things. It's very beautiful.
Mm. Well, and we definitely need to take the long view of things because that's what really matters. And I think you chronicle that so well in this book that divorce is not just between two individuals that may be going through a rough patch in a relationship, but it has profound implications on many and probably far beyond what is readily evident at that time. Unfortunately, Layla, we're just about out of time for this show, but I want to give you an opportunity before we leave to let our listeners know where they can go to get a copy of your new book, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak.
Sure. Yes, they can go to Amazon.com, and it's available there both in the paperback and the ebook Kindle format. I think BarnesandNobles.com also has that.
Great. Well, I want to encourage our listeners, especially if you may be dealing with a divorce situation yourself or have a loved one who does, avail yourself of this book and be encouraged by it, learn from it, and just take advantage of the resource that it is. I certainly expect that it can help you and help those that you love. And with that, Layla Miller, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for bringing greater attention to the impact that divorce has on our culture and on those we love.
Thank you, John, so much. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.